Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Live from the Palatial Yet Not Overly Ostentatious Studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter X at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We got a loaded show for you today as we take you all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. I have Stuart Kovacs with me, Ryan Botcher with me, and we'll be joined by not one, not two, but three awesome guests. Cedric Cornbread Maxwell is going to stop by as we'll get you set for the Eastern Conference Finals between the Pacers and the Celtics that commences this evening at 8 p.m. Eastern. So he'll join us 20 minutes from now, Cedric Maxwell. Derek Stepan, former Rangers forward, he will join us at 4:40 p.m. Eastern, 1:40 p.m. Pacific today. We'll preview both the Eastern Conference Final and the Western Conference Final in hockey. We already knew that the Rangers and Panthers were set. That will get underway tomorrow evening, and it will be followed on Thursday, I believe, with you have Pete DeBoer's team and the Dallas Stars welcoming in the Edmonton Oilers. And talking about Peter DeBoer, the head coach of the Dallas Stars is going to stop by at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time, 2:20 p.m. Pacific today. And that was an interesting hockey game last night. We'll start with the hoops. We'll get to it in just a second. But you got to see Vancouver host a Game 7. You know that the NHL, they would never say this, but they want Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl to be getting into the conference final because they would love to see them in the Stanley Cup final when you have the biggest star in the sport in Connor McDavid, another top five player in Leon Draisaitl. And early on in that game, the third-string goalie for Vancouver was sensational. Like, that game should have been out of reach a lot earlier than what it actually was. And the third-string goalie did a sensational job. And then it's 3-0 in the third period. Vancouver, they either refused to shoot or they couldn't get a shot off. It was so bizarre. And the next thing you know, because it's hockey and all these games have crazy endings, it goes from 3-0 to 3-1, then 3-1 to 3-2, and you have Vancouver pulling their goalie with about like 1:45, 2 minutes left, and they couldn't get a shot off. So it was very fitting that they couldn't get a shot off. They had one opportunity late. I believe that was blocked, but it was fitting that Edmonton won. And I know that Vancouver had a bunch of injuries, but it was fitting that Edmonton won because they dominated that hockey game. And if that game would have got to overtime, I'm not saying that Edmonton could not have won, but the momentum drastically shifts to the Vancouver Canucks in their building. And did you see, I know we all know how hockey is, right? And we know the passion from the fans. But did you see how many fans were celebrating in Edmonton? I believe right outside their stadium, they had a watch party. You know, I know the Rangers for game six where they beat the Hurricanes to advance to the conference final. They had a watch party inside the arena, Madison Square Garden. I guess this was outside the arena for Edmonton. There were so many fans. Now, I wouldn't usually be someone that want to go to a watch party to watch a game. You know, if my team is on the road for a big game and I'm not in the building, I think I would just prefer to sit on my couch. If you know of a nice bar that has the sound on, maybe. But I saw Carlos Ortiz, Carlos with the K, he was at the Ranger watch party for game six, and it looked awesome. Absolutely awesome. And then you see all the fans in Edmonton last night, and it looked like a grand old time. So we have the final four team set in hockey, the Stars going up against the Oilers, and you do have the Rangers going up against the Panthers. So loaded show today. We got a whole lot to do, only 3 hours to play. So let's get to it right now. I was watching last night the Barstool Rundown, and Big Cat proposed a question that I think is a fascinating question, because you could give me three answers here, and I don't think any of the three answers are wrong. And the simple question is this: who is the best duo remaining out of the four teams in the NBA playoffs? You have the Pacers with Haliburton and Siakam. You have the Timberwolves with Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns. You have the Dallas Mavericks with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. And then you have the Boston Celtics with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So we all know who we could pencil into the fourth spot. That's Haliburton and Siakam. And even folks that listen to us in Indianapolis, I don't think are calling me up at 855-212-4227 and would argue differently. Haliburton's a nice player. Siakam, we know, a champion. Very good player. That duo is not on the level of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, and Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns. But with what has happened so far in the postseason, we have seen, and we all knew Anthony Edwards was a very good player, great player, but his stardom has catapulted nationally through the first two rounds of the NBA playoffs, where Anthony Edwards has gone from a star to a megastar and the future face of this sport. Because what he's done so far, even though he did not play great offensively in game seven, but for the most part, he has anchored the impossible, which was someone taking down Denver in these NBA playoffs. Denver not in the conference finals. Denver not going to back-to-back NBA finals. Denver will not hoist back-to-back Larry O'Brien trophies. And you have seen Cat, who was a former number one overall pick, have his inconsistencies, but still be a very good player. Like, you know who Karl-Anthony Towns reminds me a lot of, Stu? It's actually Anthony Davis, where when they are both on, they look great. They look like they could be the best player on the court. But through injuries and just so many inconsistencies, their level of play is up and down on both sides of the court. But we know Anthony Edwards is a megastar. You look at Tatum and Brown. Tatum is the star of that group. Jaylen Brown has the mega contract. Jaylen Brown also has inconsistencies. We've seen at times in the postseason him not be able to go left. We have seen with Jaylen Brown, him have costly turnovers late in postseason games. He's inconsistent as well come postseason time. And then you have Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, where I remember we had Avery Johnson on before the postseason started a few weeks ago. And I said, if Denver doesn't get to the championship round, doesn't get to the NBA Finals coming out of the Western Conference, who's the next team that you believe in the most? And I actually agree with him when he said this, because of the fact that now we're operating in this era of dynamic duos, that it's Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And Luka has been incredible, even dealing with an abundance of injuries. And it's just a reminder with Kyrie Irving that when he's locked in, he's one of the baddest dudes on the planet on a basketball court. The problem is he was not locked in Brooklyn. He was being a pain in the ass. He was not locked in, you know, when he was with Kevin Durant, and he was with James Harden. And you saw him also in Boston not be locked in as well. And his career the last few years has soured, even though he's always been a great player, because a lot of people just didn't think the juice was worth the squeeze. And in all likelihood, up until this postseason run, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. But now it seems like Kyrie Irving's in a good headspace, and we're all reminded of the great Kyrie Irving that we saw in that 3-1 epic comeback when the Cavs did take down the Golden State Warriors. Talent has never been the issue with Kyrie Irving. It's been up here, and then also it's been health and just staying healthy. But I look at these three duos, and I try to rank them 1 through 4. Haliburton and Siakam's in at fourth. I'm going to give you my first answer, like the best duo remaining, and then 2 and 3, I really think they're splitting hairs. But I think right now, the best duo remaining in the NBA playoffs are Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Like, you look around, when you look at the one part of this duo, who's the best player between Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, and Anthony Edwards? I think it's Luka Doncic. And then you look at the number two options, Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, and Karl Anthony Towns. Kyrie's locked in right now. And when Kyrie is locked in, he's a top 10 player in the sport. So you could argue that Luka and Kyrie are two top 10 players in the sport. Jason Tatum's top 10 player in the sport. I can't argue that for Jaylen Brown. Anthony Edwards feels like he's now a top 10 player in the sport. I can't say that for Karl Anthony Towns. So in the one spot, it's Luka Doncic and it's Kyrie Irving. Then I may be like the Raiders when they're drafting and deciding between the corner, Terrion Arnold, or Brock Bowers. I may have to flip a coin between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown compared to Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. Because right now, and Edwards has been tested more in this postseason, Tatum has not been tested yet because of the first two opponents. And quite frankly, I don't think the Pacers are going to give him much of a test either. But right now, Anthony Edwards is inspiring. Anthony Edwards is now most people's pick to win the NBA Finals. Not only get there, win the NBA Finals. So I think you're splitting hairs with Tatum Brown up against Edwards and Cat. And Brown and Cat are number twos on championship teams, regardless of where they were drafted. I think at their apex, Karl Anthony Towns is a better all-around player than Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen Brown is a phenomenal two-way guard. Like, I'm not to eat. He's one of the better two-way guards in the league. But I just think with his size, his defensive play, Karl Anthony Towns has more upside. So I think you're splitting hairs. You could really flip a coin. But I would go best duos remaining in the NBA playoffs, Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving 1, Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns 2, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown 3, and Tyrese Haliburton and Siakam in at 4th. And the best part about this question is, and the answer of it, is I walked around the newsroom right before the show. I saw D-Cell and Stu. And I said to D-Cell and Stu, who's the best duo remaining in the playoffs? D-Cell right away, boom. He said Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving. Stu was like, I'm actually going to go Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And I can't sit there and yell at Stu and call him a moron because, A, that's not very nice. But B, it's not inconceivable to say Tatum and Brown are the best duo remaining in the playoffs. And I had them ranked 3rd. So, Stu, you tell me why you go Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as the best duo remaining in the postseason when I have them 3rd. Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns as 2, and Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving in at number 1. But once again, it's all splitting hairs. It's very, very close.
Yeah, it's close. I thought that I like what Tatum and Brown do in terms of complementing themselves. Like, okay. I think Brown is pretty good defensively. I think Tatum can also be good defensively. I think they play off each other really well. Like, Doncic and Kyrie, there's a lot of firepower there. There's a lot of offense. There's not a lot of defense. Kind of same with Kat, like, I don't know. Again, I'm really splitting hairs, but I just think as two guys that complement each other well and that are all-around players, I would pick them.
Now, going off of this, with all these players and all these duos, most to gain, most to lose, individual player. Take the duos out of it, but standing with those, you know, let's just say with those 6 players, Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, and you know what? Screw it, for the fun of it, Haliburton and Siakam. Out of those players, Stu, who out of those eight players has the most to gain with the remaining two rounds of the NBA playoffs? What would your answer be?
I think it's definitely Anthony Edwards.
I'm with you.
I think it's hard to make an argument otherwise. I think Edwards just that he's doing it so early, and this could be the first of many. I know we don't want to get into dynasty talk,
sure.
But if he's able to get it.
Because we just did it with the Nuggets.
Yes. If he's able to do it this early, that's going to be pretty insane, and it does seem like the sky's the limit for him.
So I'm with you. Anthony Edwards is in at one. Who's then in at two? Because two, I think it comes down to the conversation of is it Luka Doncic or is it Jason Tatum? And I don't think Tatum is ever going to be the face of the league. I do feel like Tatum gets a little bit disrespected in some of these conversations, but I do think it's Luka because Luka's a top five player in the league. And you put a championship on his resume this early, especially in Dallas. You know, you look at, right, the historical standpoint, Dirk Nowitzki and how great he was for that franchise. Luka gets a championship this early. And just pound for pound, like, Luka is a better player than Dirk. And Dirk's one of my favorite players of all time. And if he could go get a championship this early in Dallas, that would be phenomenal. So I would say most again, it's Edwards one, and then it's Luka two. But I do think we're in agreement here, Stu. And I don't want to speak for you, so correct me if I'm wrong. The most to lose is Tatum. It seems like Tatum's the guy, like Josh Allen is in the NFL, or Lamar Jackson is in the NFL, where we really don't care what the Bills and Ravens do in the regular season because they've been around both for so many years, and they've been elite in this league, and they've been so close, but yet so far. That's Jason Tatum. It's like what Giannis was a few years ago. Now, Giannis a little bit different because he had a few MVPs. Even Nikola Jokic, same thing a few years ago. Where we've seen them so many times, you see them dominate at a high level. Now it's okay, you got to get to a championship. And this could be the easiest road to a NBA Finals ever out of the Eastern Conference. First round, Heat were injured. Jimmy Butler was hurt. You dispose of them in five games. The last round, it's probably easier to name who was available rather than who was hurt for Cleveland. And they dispose of them in five games. And the Pacers, you know, they have a great offense. They have a good 1-2 punch down low. McConnell's gritty off the bench. But the most I could see this series going is six games. I picked the Celtics in five. So I think Tatum has the most to lose because some will argue, including yours truly, that the playoffs really don't start for the Boston Celtics until you get to the NBA Finals. So are you in agreement there before we get to Cornbread Maxwell? That Jason Tatum is the most to lose.
I am, and it's going to be next year eight for Tatum, which is kind of crazy.
It's crazy,
It seems like he's still really young, but he's actually starting to get to the point where, okay, he's in the prime of his career. They've surrounded him with a lot, especially the last few offseasons.
Porzingis, Holiday.
Yeah, there's a lot of good players around
him. The emergence of
Derek White. Yeah, so if he doesn't get it done, there's going to be a lot of criticism on him.
It's funny. We were also blown away how early Tatum's Celtics really did break out, even with the Hayward injury and the Kyrie injuries, right? When they went to that conference final, you had Jaylen Brown on that team. A scary Terry was also on that team. He didn't show up in that elimination game. And you had those guys break out so early, and they've gone on so many runs. With the early success, then it starts to build that narrative. Okay, we're done with them having the early success. Now you got to go win an NBA championship, and anything short of that would be a failure this year. So it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll preview the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA with Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, longtime Boston Celtic, and also has done a great job as their radio analyst for many years.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. The Eastern Conference Finals in the association does commence tonight with the Boston Celtics hosting the Indiana Pacers after the Pacers had an historical evening shooting the basketball, taking care of the New York Knicks in seven games. Let's go out to Boston. We welcome in a two-time NBA champion, the 1981 Finals MVP, longtime Celtics radio analyst, and that, of course, is Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, kind enough to join us once again on the Zach Gelb Show. Cedric, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for doing this, and how you been?
I am doing fine, sir. Just hanging in there, getting ready for the festivities tonight.
So let me just get the vibe around the Celtics. We know how great they were in the regular season. The first two rounds of the playoffs, they were expected to beat an injured Heat and Cavs team, both rather quickly, and they did so in five games. We were talking about this to open up the show, though, Cornbread, and it's like no one's going to praise the Celtics until they have that Larry O'Brien trophy. So from a player standpoint, when no one's really praising you and you just keep on winning, how do you kind of navigate through that?
You do exactly that. You don't worry about all those other ancillary things. You play the game. And this is one time I'd have to agree with something that Draymond Green echoed from somebody else when he said, this season for the Boston Celtics isn't about winning the division or having the best record. It's about bringing another banner. And I think it's Tatum and Brown's time to step up and bring another banner to the elevator.
You got some great dynamic duos remaining in the NBA postseason. You just mentioned Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You have Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. Obviously, Luka Doncic and Boston's favorite friend in Kyrie Irving. We'll see Halliburton and Siakam tonight. Out of those four, who do you think the best duo is remaining in the NBA playoffs?
I would just have to go with Brown and Tatum. Two younger players right now, dynamic, a little bit longer, bigger. I love Kyrie Irving. I think he's of all the Boston Celtics players I've ever played here, especially with a guard. He was by far the most outstanding offensive player I think the Celtics have ever had in a uniform. But when I think of Tatum and Brown, what they're able to do, scoring the basketball, passing, doing all those things, I like them as well as anybody.
We know with Kyrie Irving, right, it was an ugly ending in Boston. He wasn't all in with the Brooklyn Nets, and he wound up in Dallas, and people were like, the juice isn't worth the squeeze anymore. We all know when he's locked in, he's a top-10 player. To see what Luka and Kyrie are doing right now, how you just described your feelings on Kyrie Irving, just what other emotions does that elicit when you see that team in the Western Conference Finals?
Well, you know, I think I'm not as surprised because of the way those two play, but it's not those two. It's those ancillary players that have come in and played well. The Washingtons of the world, Livelys of the world. These guys have made a difference in what Dallas has been. Before, they were just an offensive juggernaut. Now they can come back and legitimately have size and defend you on the perimeter and coming towards the basket with those guys I talked about. So that is the difference in the team now that I saw in the middle of the year when the Celtics kind of spanked Dallas to what Dallas is now.
I thought last year, as Cedric Cornbread Maxwell is with us, Joe Mazzulla was in a tough spot and he was unfairly criticized, but that's the nature of this business. What have you really learned and really seen from the coach and Joe Mazzulla this year that stood out to you?
I think Joe's just grown. I think, everybody grows. If you're on this earth, every day you grow, you evolve. And I think he's evolved as a coach. His personality is one where it's a little raw right now when it comes to the media. But I think he believes in this team. There was one game before a game in the latter part of the season. I was there maybe 3 hours before the game doing some business. And Joe was walking around the court, and he does this thing where he has these beads, and he walks around the court for maybe 5 or 6 times. And he and I were there, and he stopped where I was at, and he said, Max, what championship did you win? I said, in 84 and 81, finals MVP, and all that stuff. He said, I would do anything to bring a banner to the Boston Celtics. And he like had a tear in his eye. And I was like, that's how convinced I am of what he will do, to stem the tide and win a banner and, put these guys in the best possible position.
You know, people parachute in this time of the year, and now they're watching every Celtics game. They may only catch a few throughout the season, depending where they live. As Cedric Maxwell is here with us. Derek White has been really good for this team. If people have not been made aware of the game of one Derek White so far, just take me through your vantage point with what you're seeing with him.
Derek White is one of the leaders right now at the guard position in block shots. He has shot the ball extremely well. He's defended extremely well, almost to the point where he probably should have been the all-star this year. Then you have Drew Holiday, who is a world champion. Who has the experience, who comes in and handles those defensive talents. It's going to be a vocal point tonight. It's going to be Halliburton. And when you have a guy that can play him like a White can play him or Drew Holiday, it makes it a little easier, I'd say, to get out and push up on those guys because those two guards are so dynamic.
How about Porzingis? I saw Woj said they don't expect him to be back for the first two games of this series. We know he's dealing with that soleus injury. Do you have any expectation that eventually Kristaps Porzingis is going to be back for this series?
I'm trying to figure out, where does Woj get all this information? the government has secrets, but damn, if Woj gets on it there, I need to know if they're really aliens or not. Can you get up with Woj and find that out? Damn, I mean, but.
We'd have to confiscate his phone, I think.
I mean, I think he's spot on with it. Porzingis wants to come back, but I think they're being slow and they're diligent about when he comes back. I've heard that it's going to be he'll miss the first couple of games. Some people say, well, if you don't need him in this series, why play him at all? I think that you have to play him in this series, second or third, the third game, because you have to ramp back up to what the NBA speed is. And you can't simulate that in practice. So, yeah, I look forward to, him coming back and getting into the rotation because he was such a huge weapon this year when it comes to shooting the ball from the outside, maybe not blocking shots, but long enough really to challenge a lot of shots. So it'd be great to have him back.
Wrap it up with Cedric Cornbread Maxwell. Celtics start the Eastern Conference Finals tonight up against the Indiana Pacers. How do you think this series is going to play out? I think the Celtics are going to win it in five games. It's no disrespect to Indiana. You know, we know the Celtics in game twos, they haven't gone their way, but I kind of think they start this thing up 2-0. They split in Indiana, and they close that sucker out in game five.
I like what you're saying, they're to be played. I think the Celtics have a team right now that has the advantage. But here's what you have. You have a team that believes in themselves in Indiana. You know, they knocked off Orlando. They knocked off a hard-fighting Knicks team. And now you're playing a team that has really been, on top of the world in the Boston Celtics. So the Celtics can't come in and, just throw caution to the wind. They have to do their due diligence again about guarding these guys. And the thing the Celtics have, the difference between the two teams is the Celtics can defend you to death. The Pacers can score you. If there's a way that you can slow down the scoring, the Celtics take huge advantage in that.
Earlier you said it's Jason Tatum's time, and you believe he's going to pull through. Why do you believe he's going to pull through and get that other banner?
Well, isn't this what they said about Jordan, and that's what they said about LeBron. All these guys were up in their years when they finally broke through. I think it's just Tatum's time. You know, he's been a bridesmaid for, a couple of times, been right there at the door. Last year, I thought the Celtics were going to make history by coming back and beating Miami with the deficit that they had. And then Tatum turns his ankle in the seventh game with 1 minute beginning of the game. So I just think it's his time. Sometimes it's just written in the stars that you think about who, what, where, and if there are opportunities. But this is Tatum's time, I think, to shine. And I think that he will. He's been dynamic this year, not an MVP, but because he's had so many talented guys around him, he's been able to kind of defer. This is maybe the time for him to take over.
Who do you think wins in the West between Minnesota and Dallas?
Wow, that's going to be a good one. And you know what? I'm going to go out and I'm going to surprise people a little bit. I think it's going to be Dallas. And the reason I think it's going to be Dallas because of those other guys, the P.J. Washingtons of the world, the Livelys of the world. I think they can challenge. And offensively, I think that they can put up maybe a few more points than Minnesota. So I like Dallas.
He's Cedric Cornbread Maxwell. Have a great call tonight, as always, my friend. Thanks so much for doing this.
All right, take it easy.
There you go. Cedric Cornbread Maxwell here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. I think that it's going to be Celtics and Timberwolves, but can you imagine – from the coverage standpoint, if we have to see Kyrie Irving walking into Boston with the Mavericks for an NBA Finals, that would be a whole lot of fun. No one's going to pick the Pacers. No one will. And no one should. So sometimes when that does happen, you usually see the team that no one's picking wins. But I just, as long as Tatum is healthy and Brown is healthy, I don't see a way where the Pacers win this series. And his point on Porzingis I thought was interesting. I don't think they need Porzingis to win this series. I've been saying it from the start. They do not need Porzingis to get out of the Eastern Conference, but they need Porzingis to go win an NBA championship and go get the last four victories. But he talked about that, how you still feel like you have to play Porzingis at some point in this series, because if you are to advance, you don't want him to be knocking off the rust, which there will be rust with the injuries that he's coming off of, and well, the better idea how healthy he actually is, you don't want him to be knocking off that rust in the NBA Finals. I didn't think about it that way. So that was a very astute observation and an excellent point by one Cedric Maxwell. We'll take a break. When we come on back, Stu brought up this crazy NASCAR fight the other day. I did not see the video at first. I watched it last night after the show. That was bonkers. What's the craziest fight in sports history? We'll go around the room and we will address that question next, and we'll give you an answer. 855-212-4227 on social media, at Zach Gelb, Instagram, Twitter, X. And now let's get to the latest Infinity Sports Network update with the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union. It proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. The members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This week's player is Pacers big man Miles Turner. In Indiana's Game 7 win over the Knicks on Sunday, he had four blocked shots. Turner's currently third in the playoffs in blocked shots, averaging 1.8 per game. So, Stu mentioned this fight between Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Kyle Busch the other day. This was at, like, some all-star event? This was an exhibition, Stu?
It was an exhibition race where didn't matter for the standings, but all you got in the end was, I think it was winner-take-all prize of, like, $1 million or something like that.
Are you kidding me? That's awesome. That is wild. So, I heard about it. For some reason, I'm not a big NASCAR fan. I think during the pandemic is when I became a big NASCAR fan, because it's like the only thing that was on and it was something to watch. So I ended up watching the fight last night. And that was a pretty good showdown. That was a pretty good melee. And I saw on AutoWeek.com, because I wasn't watching the actual race, that this whole kerfuffle started because the ill feelings between the two started on lap one. That's what they said on AutoWeek.com, when Stenhouse shoved a Chevrolet between Denny Hamlin and Busch to make it three wide. The move forced Busch into the outside wall. The next lap, Busch hit Stenhouse in the rear and sent a Chevrolet into the second turn wall. Bush parked his damaged race car in Bush's pit and then climbed up on the RCR team pit box and told Bush's crew chief he would see Bush after the race. You know, isn't that a wild concept, Stu? Like, for example, let's say Stu and I are basketball players and we get into an argument on the court and I shove Stu. All right, that's like innocuous for the most part. You get into a crash and then your response is to ram your vehicle or make contact with the other person's vehicle later in the race. That's very dangerous, if I may say so myself. But I saw Stenhouse and Bush, they got into it, and then Stenhouse threw the first punch. And I don't know who, do you know who the big dude was, Stu, that was involved in that? Because there was some big dude that came just like rushing in. He looked like he could be a defensive end on the Carolina Panthers, for crying out loud. You know, if he has any NCAA eligibility left, you know, maybe Dabo Sweeney would actually take that guy in the transfer portal and give him some NIL money. And I'm not talking about the name, image, and likeness of God. I'm talking about actual NIL money. Hey, Florida may promise you some NIL money, and then they may rescind that NIL money with that lawsuit that's pending today with the quarterback. But whoever that dude was, Stu, that dude was a behemoth. And he was like the bouncer in a club. He was like Gronkowski on Sergio Brown when he tossed him out of that game. That was absolutely wild, the entire fight, Stu.
Yeah, at first I thought it was the crew chief. It appears it's not. Usually NASCAR, the tire changers are more muscular, heavier set guys.
He looked like a bodybuilder, though.
Yeah, he did. He looked absolutely massive. So I'm guessing it was a tire changer, okay, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out who it was, but that was crazy. So it elicits this conversation. What's the greatest or craziest fight in sports history? And I start mine, and I think it's like everyone's answer. If you grew up around when I grew up, even if it doesn't really matter the age, but everyone remembers the Malice at the Palace in 2004. And, you know, I didn't grow up in Indianapolis or Detroit. I don't know how you feel about this, Stu. Well, you're a Lakers fan, so this may be change your emotions a little bit. But I think my favorite NBA team of all time actually may be the Pistons squad that won the championship. And I know Stu doesn't like that. But that Pistons squad that won the championship with Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, you had Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince. In a weird way, which was sloppy, aggressive, low-scoring, physical basketball in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, I loved that Pistons team that was coached by Larry Brown. So, and Larry Brown won an NBA championship with them. I love that team, Stu. I'm sure you love that team too, right?
Yeah, that was a not happy experience losing to them as a Lakers fan. But I can see why you would like them, because as a neutral, I would probably like them too. Yeah.
That was the Lakers team, right? With Shaq, Kobe, Gary Payton, and Karl Malone.
Yeah.
The Lakers had those two teams in our lifetime. It was that.
Yeah.
You know, that
I know where you're going with this, yeah.
And then the other one, it was Dwight Howard.
Steve Nash
and Kobe.
Yeah, and Powell still.
Oh, and Paul Gasol was still on that team. What? They made the playoffs, right? Or did they get hurt and didn't make the playoffs?
That was the year Kobe tore his Achilles right before the playoffs. They were the 8th seed and they got swept by the Spurs.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. That team, I thought for sure they were going to win a championship.
As did I.
And then Kobe didn't win those two other championships. That came afterwards, right? Those two other championships that he ended up winning?
That was before Nash and Howard. So they won the two, and then they traded Bynum for Howard. Okay. And they signed Nash as kind of like try to retool the team and try to
So they already won
it.
Those two extra championships.
Yes. He had all his rings at that point.
Oh, gotcha. Wow, I always thought it was the other way. But
yeah, they won in 2009 and 2010, and I think this was 2012 when they got Dwight Howard.
Because that was then probably the belief of, oh, now they bring in this team, he's going to catch Jordan. Now that you say it, you're right on that. But anyway, that's the craziest fight I've ever seen in sports history. And it's not just because it was player on player. It was also player on fan. Like, do you remember the Pistons fan that came onto the court that looked like Turtle from Entourage? And every time it's like, oh, this day in sports history, Malice at the Palace, I see Turtle, Jerry Ferrara tweet. That was not me. And then you had Ron Artest just lying on the scorer's table. And I guess that fan threw the drink at him, and then he goes into the stand, and then Steven Jackson goes into the stand. I was looking back at the suspensions from that. So that happened early in 04, early in the season, November of 04. Ron Artest was suspended for the remainder of the season, regular season and postseason. He missed 73 regular season games and 13 playoff games. Steven Jackson missed 30. Jermaine O'Neal originally got hit with a 25-game suspension, got reduced to 15. Ben Wallace got 6. Anthony Johnson got 5. Reggie Miller got 1. Chauncey Billups got 1. Derek Coleman got 1. And Eldon Campbell got 1. So that ended up being the suspensions from the Malice at the Palace. And I have never seen anything like that. Stu, what is the greatest fight or the craziest fight that you want to bring up in sports history?
So mine was from 1998, Yankees against the Orioles. Yankees are in the midst of one of their best seasons of all time. Bernie Williams hits a 3-1 home run off Armando Benitez.
Burn, baby, burn.
And then next pitch, Benitez plunks Tino Martinez in the back, upper back, clearly throwing at him. And then a brawl breaks out. And, you know, they're just pushing and shoving at first, but then it goes into the dugout.
Yep.
Graham Lloyd and Benitez in the dugout. Strawberry comes in the dugout, sucker punches Benitez.
Boom.
It was one of the more crazier baseball fights I've ever seen.
Armando Benitez. That falls into the long line of Mets closers that have tortured me. Braden Looper, Armando Benitez. Ugh, you could just go on and on and on. Remember when Billy Wagner blew that game up against the Yankees in the regular season Subway Series? Ugh.
Aaron Heilman.
Oh, stop, stop, stop. That back to Edwin Diaz now with how he's performing as of late. Guillermo Motto actually ended up going to the Mets. He got into it with Piazza in spring training. You know, Piazza, I've had him on a bunch. Roger Clemens, by the way. I hate his guts. My least favorite player ever. Roger Clemens with roid rage in the World Series throwing the bat at Piazza. Oh, I thought it was the ball. Like, that makes it any better. That punk Roger Clemens, who should be in the Hall of Fame, but I can't stand him. So I wasn't expecting to go on a rant about Mets relievers and hating Roger Clemens, but Stu brings up Armando Benitez, and that was terrible part of my childhood, even though he's on the Orioles in the fight that you were mentioning. All right, Botcher, what do you got cooking for me today?
Okay, so my first thought was, of course, Rougned Odor and Jose Bautista in 2016. Jose Bautista had a dirty slide in the second base after being hit by a pitch by Jesse Chavez. It wasn't really a long fight.
No.
He got absolutely cooked by Odor, but it's memorable in the way that...
It's like a down go Frazier moment.
Down goes Frazier, but there's also a bunch of memes from that.
Yeah.
To where you can't go wrong with saying it's one of the best fights ever. But I also looked up other great fights.
Mm-hmm.
1979, the Bruins at the Garden.
Yes.
Jumped in the crowd and started fighting more fans. So that's another one that you could say.
So I was going through this last night because I was thinking about this, and I always remember I've been told the Milbury story for all those years, Rangers and the Bruins. You see the fight at the end of the game, and then it ends up into the stands, and then Milbury rips that fan's shoe off, and then he's hitting a fan with the shoe. That was a classic Bruins and Rangers with Mike Milbury. John Chaney and John Calipari, when Chaney stormed the press conference room when Calipari was at UMass. He's like, you're too good of a coach to be doing that stuff. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. And he had to get, like, grabbed out of the room. Pete Rose and Bud Harrelson is always a classic one. But for me, it's Malice at the Palace is the first one that I think of. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Dave in Hershey, Pennsylvania. He's next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Dave, what's cooking?
Well, I got to agree with you. The Malice in the Palace is by far the worst fight of all time. But two you're forgetting. Maybe not a brawl, but bad fight. Nolan Ryan putting a thumping to Robin Ventura was my favorite of all time. But then before my time, the Rudy Tomjanovich punch that ended his career. That was a rough one for anybody who was a great athlete like Rudy Tomjanovich was to be cut short because of a blast from a monster of a man. That's the one that I think was most costly, besides all the suspensions from the Malice in the Palace. You know, Rudy Tomjanovich was a great player.
Dave, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for calling us. By the way, when you do a show like this, you got to interact with a lot of great listeners. I met a guy who is built like he is the Incredible Hulk. He is really strong. But this guy by the name of Sean Weaver, I met him at the DA Bob's Bar Show. He listened to DA for years. He listens to me. He listens to Maggie and Perloff. Really good dude. And wants to eventually get in the sports broadcasting business. He told me this morning and his mother listened to the show. Mother listened to the network when it was CBS Sports Radio, now the Infinity Sports Network, that unfortunately his mother passed away. Lori Weaver, she was a big Steelers fan. She had a short battle with cancer, and she passed away Saturday. So we're sending all the best to Sean, his father, and his family. Just wanted to reach out and send my condolences on the air. I'm going to write Sean a condolence note as well and send it to him. But he listens to the show a lot in South Carolina and really do appreciate his friendship and him listening to the show, and just wanted to send his family my condolences on the passing of his great mother and Lori Weaver, who passed away over the weekend after a battle with cancer. So may she rest in peace. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout, and we're coming back with more right after these short messages.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tired of sifting through countless supplements? Unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results with Legion. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.